Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Now, the answer to that question does not come from an opinion poll. And the answer from that question, I want to say this carefully, but the answer from to that question doesn't even come from this book. The answer to that question has to come, like it did for Peter, from his Father in heaven. That's what Jesus said. He said, listen, Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You received it from my Father in heaven. And I believe Jesus was pumped. You know why? Because heaven was coming to earth. And it wasn't coming just to him or through him. All of a sudden, here's contentious, pretentious Peter, and he got it. He heard it. When he said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, he was using the vernacular of the day to very clearly and without any question say, you are the Messiah. Who do you say that he is? We have to answer that. You want a miracle in your life? You need healing in your life? You've got to answer the question, who is this Jesus? And it doesn't matter what voices you surround yourself with until your voice can declare it from a place of revelation and a recognition that God has downloaded something deep inside you, that he is the Christ, the living God. Because see, with the recognition that he is Christ, the living God, comes all the power of the cross. Comes all the power of the resurrection. Comes all the power of the work of God done on earth through Christ. It's on that rock that he'll build his church. It's on that declaration. But somebody cannot make it for you. You might be here this morning and you had an awesome grandma that loved Jesus and taught you all kinds of things. Well, big whoop. See, if we just go around parroting what other people said, and I will say it, that is my pet peeve, by the way. Well, you know, I heard this tape and so said. Oh, big deal. I'm so glad for so and so. What do you say? Well, yeah, but he said, what do you say? Yeah, but she said, she put it so cool. No, wait a minute. What do you say? That's good. It's important. It doesn't matter what others say. We got to know that we know. What do I say? What do I say about this Jesus? See, is Jesus a healer or is he healing? Is Jesus a deliverer or is he deliverance itself? Did the cross get it done or didn't it? We need to know. I know I'm getting a little straight this morning. But we don't have time to mess around. You realize this is 2012 and that the return of Jesus is closer than it has ever, ever, ever been? See, I'm not sure that the changing of a year is a big deal, but there is a changing of a season. And what I'm sensing in my spirit is there's a changing of a season in God. And it doesn't really matter what year you put on it, although I suppose it does. But the reality is that there is just a shift that's taking place, and I feel it in my spirit. And I know that God is fixing to do stuff. But there must be a faith in us as a family concerning that. Do you come here on Sunday mornings with an expectation because you know who he is? Or do you come here on the Sunday morning with an expectation to hear what they say? Who do men say that I am? No. Do you come with an expectation that you've already answered it? And even if the preaching is poor, you know the truth. Even if Pastor Bob is just off this Sunday morning, do you know that beyond what he says, who is he anyway? Is there an expectation in your heart when you come here on Sunday mornings that we have a big God that sent his son to the cross so that everything that we need that pertains to godliness is ours in Christ Jesus? Everything is accomplished. Because it's on that rock. Not what men say, what you say, that he builds his church. It's on that rock that he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's on that rock that he builds his church, his ecclesia, his called out ones. See, it's that declaration that called you out of darkness into his light. It's that declaration. And see, we tend to say it got us saved. Well, it did, but it got you way more than saved. You mean there's more than salvation? Yes. There's abundant life. There's living heaven on earth. There's being used of him to bring heaven to earth. There's a whole lot more than just fire insurance. There is a whole life. There's a whole quality of life. There's a quality of marriage if you're married. There's a quality of intimacy with God. There's a whole vast array of things that we step into when we step into this relationship with Christ, which all comes out of Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay. The horse is dead. Let's dismount. We'll move on. Let's have fun in the Father's house. Oh, God, help me. Upon this rock, upon this reality, it has really had nothing to do with Peter. It did because he's the one that said it, but he's dead now. So it really had nothing to do with Peter now, does it? By the way, I personally don't think he'll be the one to meet you at the pearly gates. He's way too talkative. You don't put real talkative people as greeters. You just don't. They just get a long line waiting to get in. I don't know where that came from. I don't have notes, really. I mean, so some of this stuff just... Yeah. But he says, upon this rock, upon the reality of this statement that you know who he is and that you say it. If anyone says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, some of you might have mountains in your life. Can I ask you, have you ever spoken to it? Have you ever told it where to go? If you say, who do you say that I am? If you say to this mountain, be removed. See, your voice is very important in this. Even concerning miracles, even concerning what's going to take place here this morning in the weeks to come. Our voice, what do we say? And I know in this atmosphere, man, you can say all kinds of religious things, but what do you say Monday through Saturday? That's good. Where are you living? Even those of you who need healing, and I'm going to put a little bit of responsibility back on you. What do you say concerning your disease? What do you say concerning thou art Christ, the Son of the living God? What do you say concerning the cross? What do you say? Or are you silent? The Bible talks about the working of miracles because I believe miracles take work. By that, I mean we have a responsibility in it, and we have a part in it, and we cannot be lazy in our faith. Just getting really real this morning. Didn't plan on it. It's not even in the... But the reality is we cannot be lazy in our pursuit of God and in our declaration of who He is. Many of us like to focus on what men say because then men or women, whoever they are, do all the work. If you need a miracle in your life, and it doesn't matter what fashion it is, you have a responsibility and you need to be wise in what you say. Either positive or negative. You know, we can get in an atmosphere like this that is just awesome. And their preaching is good or fair to Midland anyway. And we're just, and there's faith building. And we even say some things and we make some inner vows maybe. And we say some things and the blessing of God and the miracle of God is on its way down like a little dove. And it's coming down. It's coming down. It's going to be here next Friday. It's coming down. And Monday we have a bad day and we just undo everything we said in the presence and in the house of faith, and that little dove that's coming down, we just start shooting them. Come on, come on, come on. With our words. It's like, God's never going to heal me anyway. Come on. We'll never have enough money. Come on. See, faith is not just a place that you visit now and then on Sunday morning. It is a place that we must live. When you say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and do not doubt that what you've said you will have. You don't have it yet. Do not doubt that what you have said you will have, then you shall have it. And the problem for us sometimes is the delay between the proclamation and the reception. And it's like God takes way too much time and you are not going to give Him that much time. If He's God, why don't He act like it? Well, if you're a child of God, why don't you act like it? Why don't I act like it? Why don't we recognize that we are our Father's Son? And if I saw something in the light, I will not question it in the dark. Many people get prayed for whatever. And there is even something that rises up within them. And we know that God has done it. But then a little symptom comes back or a little whatever, letter in the mail or whatever, and it's like, oh, come on. Faith is faith 24/7. And if it's not 24/7, is it faith? Just thought I'd ask. I don't know the answer. But he goes on, so he talks about the church, but then he talks about the kingdom. And he says, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Got a set of keys here I found at the parking lot of Mall of America. Look at those keys. Ha! Hallelujah. Praise God. I've got, look at these keys. Some of them look really important. Some of them are those square ones that say, do not duplicate. Praise God, I've got the keys. The only problem is I don't know where the lock is. So I might as well not have the keys. In fact, you're better off to have a lock without a key than a key without a lock. Because at least if you've got a lock without a key, maybe in the vicinity you'll find the key. I give you the keys to the kingdom. But do we know, do we understand what the keys to the kingdom are? And do we understand, well, how they work? That's a lot of keys. Some of them look really, there's even one of those little round ones. Those are important, man. That's like custodial or something. But if you don't know what it's for, it's just an instrument of worship. True? He said, I give you the keys to the kingdom, but I want to suggest to you that he tells us what the keys to the kingdom are. He goes on to say, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Strong's Concordance. But, ooh, I just lost it. Bind. To bind, tie, fasten. Fasten with chains, to throw into chains. Loosen, similar thing. I want to suggest to you that the keys, and you know, he says the gates of hell shall not prevail, and sometime we teach that the keys are for the gates of hell, and that's fine. Go there if you want to. Let me know how it works out for you. I want to suggest to you that the keys are for the binding and the loosing. See, chains don't do much good to bind someone up unless it has a lock. And binding and loosing has everything to do with what we say. They are the keys to the kingdom. Your voice, in part, and I don't want to oversimplify it, but what you say, what I say, are the keys to the kingdom. Jesus, you know, Jesus cast out demons, and the Pharisee said, well, he does it by the power of Beelzebub or the power of Satan. And he said, come on. How dumb is that? I'm going to put it in modern day vernacular. How dumb is that? How can a man break into a house and steal the goods except he first bind the strong man? So how am I setting captives free? And I'm paraphrasing and lengthening it, but basically what he was saying is, how am I setting captives free? By the power of the one that bound them. Do I not first have to bind the strong man and to loose the captive? And many times in our praying for people and praying for things, we do not bind what is warring against us before we loose what we need. We do not bind the curse before we loose the blessing. We do not bind the lack of provision before we loose the prevision. And I don't mean that we should go around binding everything that moves. But I mean that by revelation of our Father, the same that came, the revelation that thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, comes an awareness of where the adversary is at work. And there is a putting him in chains concerning that matter so that he can no longer mess with your head. Because that's all he really does. It is through the messing with your head that he gets entry. He doesn't have power until he's given it, until he's convinced you that he's got power. If you're here this morning and you think the devil's got a hold of you, I got to ask you why. It's like the kid running down the hall and the principal grabbed him and pinned him up against the locker and said, "I think the devil's got a hold of you." And the kid says, "Yeah, I do too." Think about it. And we need to realize where the adversary is at work with us and where the liar is lying. And we just need to bind that up. We just need to put it in chains. And many times we try to bring healing before we've dealt with the adversary. I mean, really, when is the last time you told him where to go? The devil, I mean. When is the last time that you put him in his place? He's always trying to put you in his place. When is the last time you put him in his place? He's always accusing you of what he's guilty of. He tells you that you don't pray enough, as if he did. He tells you you didn't read your Bible today, as if he did. He tells you you didn't witness this week, as if he did. He tells you that you're destined to lostness, and he is. He's a liar. And you know, Carmen said it well, sang it well. When he reminds you of your past, just remind him of his future. But we need to be active in our declaration of who God is and who the adversary isn't. We need to be active in our declaration of those standing against those bombarding thoughts that come. And if you think that preachers don't know about the bombarding thoughts that you face all the time, silly girl, silly boy, we do. So we have this ability because of keys that we were given to do some things. See, keys stand for some things. And I just wrote down a few, but one of the things that key stands for is authority. If you've got a key to a place, you've got authority there. Unless you stole it. We're going to have an altar call right now. If there's anyone here with stolen keys, to the front. No, you have an authority there. Even if the only authority you have is to get in. And you have an access there. Keys give you an access. I was fibbing a little earlier. I didn't find these keys in Mall of America. I found them in my pocket.
Oh!
You come up front later and I'll pray for me. I'll come. No, you know why? You know why I didn't tell you they were mine? Because if they were mine, you might be able to figure out. Here you come now. Come on with me. Through relationship, you might be able to figure out what they're for. I mean, there'd be a pretty good chance there's a church key on here. There'd be a pretty good chance there's a key to my house, to our apartment. There's a pretty good chance there's a key to my garage. There's a pretty good chance there's a key to my post office. But there's a lot of other keys on here you know nothing about. Ha ha. There's keys to businesses in town. There's keys to places. There's keys to ministries in town. There's a key here to a building in Rogers. Ha ha. Oh, now I told you, you'll know where that is too. Well, anyway. But see, these keys, just like your keys, give me a sphere of authority, and they also give me access. These keys give me a measure of control. For no other way to get in and to get out. And I want to suggest that the keys are both for binding the works of the adversary and loosing the works of heaven. They're both. But we can't be mamby-pamby about either. One of the things, we teach a class in the community on healing and praying for the sick. And well, some of you are there, so this is not a reflection on you. But one of the things that I notice that's very hard for us is to lift our voice and declare things. See, it's easy to ask God to do something. It's harder to pronounce it. Because there is this voice that rises up on the inside that says, who do you think you are telling cancer to leave a body? And until we can answer that question, it is hard. See, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And there is a violence with which we must seize the things of God. When I was in my high school year, I worked at a mink farm, and mink are a mean animal. And we had just cages, and I don't know. I'm guessing we must have had around 400 mink on this farm. Just rows and rows of building, cages of mink. And from time to time, we'd have to go and we'd have to catch the mink to give them a shot, to move them from one cage to another. You know, you kept all the colors, you know, all the different coloreds together, different shades of fur and all of that. And you even graded them throughout as they'd grow up. And catching a mink is not easy. They are mean. They have little pin-like teeth that are sharp. And of course, you'd wear leather gloves and mitts with leather on up your sleeve. But if they caught you right, they'd get through that. And the guy I worked for, his name was Ed. He had done this for years, and there was us younger kids that worked. We shoveled and stuff. Anyway, but he would try to teach us how to catch the mink. And I'm saying all this to help you understand what it means when it says the kingdom of God suffers violent and the violent take it by force. It isn't about fighting a battle. It's about grabbing quickly and with confidence. And he, you know, these mink would be in the cage, and he would just reach his hand down in and just hold it in the center of the opening. Just hold it still for a minute, and then he'd grab one just behind the shoulders, just around the neck so it couldn't bite him. And he'd have it. And so he'd show us younger guys how to do that. But you know, we couldn't do it. Now, we couldn't do it because he was faster than us, because he was an old man. I know I was faster than him. But the reason he could do it and we couldn't is because he knew he could do it and we didn't think we could. And we would grasp with apprehension. You know, you can look really tough and strong on the outside and be quaking like a little girl on the inside. You know it's true. And when that apprehension is there, you can say all you want and you can go through all the motions on the outward. But if it's not settled on the inside that you can do this, you can't do this. And so we'd try and we'd get it and we'd grab, you know, because we were hesitant, we'd grab too high or too low and get pinpricked. And it's like, ah! That thing's got a demon. They're mean. But that's what it means that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. It is a seizing. It is a seizing very quickly. It is a seizing with forcefulness, but not in the sense, you know, you can violently, violently grab a teacup and not damage it. It's not about warring. It's not about breaking. It is about getting a hold of with confidence. And that's how we need to approach this thing of both binding and loosing, of the using of the keys. We need to recognize that we've got every authority to use them. We've got access. We've got the right to use them. We've got the permission. Oh. We've got the authorization. These signs shall follow those who believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall cast out demons. One of our last community classes, a person was getting prayer, a wonderful person was getting prayer and just God was doing something awesome and some good stuff was going in, so something just started to come out. Never focus on what's going out. Always focus on what's going in. In fact, I always like to know what provoked that. Because then I know how to help it continue to leave. Because it's never about what's leaving. It's about what's coming in. Jesus is always taking up new space in our lives. If you've never felt darkness leave your life, you may. I have. Marcy has. We all need to be. See, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. One of the spheres of the kingdom that needs to be most taken is this little 5'11 by 2 feet. Space that keeps moving all the time. Yeah. Stand still! I don't think it's going to happen. Seeing anything? Okay. So now what? So who do you say that he is? Those of you who need a miracle in your life this morning, who do you say that he is? See, some people never come to God for a miracle because they have no understanding that he is a miracle worker. Or they tried it once and it didn't work. I realize that here this morning and when we teach our classes in the community, I often tell our people this, we understand what we are doing. We are confronting a system of unbelief and misbelief concerning healing, concerning the miraculous. Because why? Why is that misbelief and unbelief there? Because it hasn't been preached in hundreds of years. constantly and consistently. See, if we called into question your salvation here this morning, you'd defend it. Most of you would defend it viciously. Why? Because you know that 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 He is Christ, the Son of the living God, and He saved you. But we can come to that same place of knowing that we know that we know that we know that we know that He is Christ, the Son of the living God, and He healed me. Amen. That He is Christ, the Son of the living God, and He delivered me. Amen. And many times we don't, and so that's the unbelief and the misbelief that we are constantly confronting. It's like we are, thank God for all this, but there's something greater of the revelation of God, of who He is and what Christ did at the cross. And it's just beyond our reach. And we're just working out how to get there. And when we find that we've got the keys and realize that, oh my gosh, there is a door. Yes. So who am I preaching to this morning? Us, me, you. See, I said from the beginning, this message is way bigger than the messenger. You know, we used to have the old saying, well, that pastor don't practice what he preaches. And I understand what you're saying, but the reality is that we've got to preach more than what we've experienced. We've got to always preach way out beyond where we are. That's the only way we're going to get way out beyond where we are. And I expect God to show up this morning because of the message that was preached, the declaration that was made. But you need to answer a very important question. If you need a miracle in your life, come forward. But wait a minute. Answer this question first. Who do you say that He is? And is there a revelation that is in your heart that He is the answer, whatever your need? And I don't know, I recognize that in a number of people like this, there's financial miracles needed, there's miracles to the body needed, there's miracles to the soul needed, there's miracles to the mind. There's all kinds of miracles represented in this room. Is He that? If He is, then come forward. Now, I want to take the pressure off of, because the kingdom of God is a kingdom of freedom. You might be here this morning and you need healing in your life, and almost everyone in this room knows it, but you may not come forward, and I want to say to you, that's okay. That's between you and God. If you come forward, we're not going to perform to get you healed, and you do not need to perform to get healed, if that's what it is. You may be here this morning, and you may need a financial miracle in your life, and everybody in the room knows it. Big whoop. If you aren't feeling that prompting to come forward, if you're not on the edge of your seat waiting for Him to shut up and open the altar so you can come, stay in your seat. It's okay. Yeah, good. You don't have to impress anybody,
right,
including God. Go ahead.
What? I struggle.
Yep.
24/7.
Okay.
So I come and I've done this a zillion times. I get prayer. I get momentary relief. And I may not get any relief, but I'm getting prayer. Just like, will you contend with me for this miracle? The symptoms are so loud. They scream out at my ear.
Yes.
You didn't get a thing. You see, I got you. And I'm just like, how do you contend with that when it's unrelenting? And it just, you get worn out. And when you're tired, you just
come up here.
This lie.
Yeah.
Just
okay, come up here. How many of you heard that? How many of you can identify with that?
Yeah.
See, this is real.
Yes.
Now, what are we going to do with this? That's the question. And I appreciate your honesty.
desperate.
Easy to be honest when you're in pain, isn't it?
Indeed.
See, what are we going to do with this? And what do we do when, as he said, maybe we get a measure of relief and maybe we don't? Is the message then of non-effect? Is the preacher a charlatan?
No.
Is the gospel any less real?
No.
See, I can't, and I don't think anyone can tell you why somebody doesn't get healed. I can't tell you there is a mystery to the thing of healing. But I know that the more that we press into it and the more that we tear down the walls of misbelief and unbelief, by the way, that misbelief and unbelief, it is a corporate thing. And bigger than this church. I mean, it is corporate in the body of Christ. There's even some streams that say God doesn't do miracles anymore. And all I can say is, are you kidding? So he all of a sudden isn't strong enough anymore? Then he's not God. Well, he can, but he just doesn't. Oh, so now he doesn't love enough anymore? Well, then he's not the God I know. And we always want to camp around our experience rather than live to the gospel and recognize that the message is bigger than the messenger and the message is bigger than the recipient. Now we just come in the name of Jesus and we just bind this tormenting lie. Yes. We bind this warfare in the name of Jesus. We just bind it up. We bind up the symptoms in Jesus' name. We say you have no authority in this body. And we command healing to come to this neck in the name of Jesus. We command healing to come to these muscles. We command healing to come to these bones in the name of Jesus. How will you know when it's healed?
Well, there won't be pain.
Where's the pain?
It's in all my muscles.
Okay,
it's
down your
nerve pain, muscle pain, tension.
Okay.
All kinds of stuff.
Okay.
Tingling.
Is it there now?
Yeah.
Okay. We just command this to go in Jesus' name. You go in Jesus' name. We call for an alignment to come to this body in Jesus' name. Satan, you're a liar.
That's right.
We break off soul tie to sickness in Jesus' name.
Oh, my God.
We just break it off. We just break it off in Jesus' name. We break off a familiarity with these symptoms in Jesus' name. We break off a monitoring of these symptoms in Jesus' name. We break it off. We break it off. No authority. We bind that which is working darkness and death, and we loose that which is working life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. What's happening? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We break it up. We come in the name above every other name. In Jesus' name.
More than enough.
Yeah. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Breaks. It breaks. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Loosen, loosen, tension, loosen in the name of Jesus. What's going on with you? You just standing in agreement? Amen. Amen. You need a miracle? Praise you. If you would come and gather around the sister, we're going to release. If you need a miracle, just come forward. And we're going to release the body to minister to the body. Healing, or ministry teams, healing teams this morning, come on up. Those ministry teams that we prayed for in the room this morning. I want those of you who are sitting back there to come on up and stand with your brothers and your sisters. And I want you to come in that authority of that name that's above every other name. I want you to be at liberty. I don't want you to step into an automatic mode of doing it like we've always done it, whatever that is. But I want you to take just a moment, and I mean, it doesn't take long, just to ask God, how shall I approach this? What is the key? You've got the key, but where's the lock? Just ask Him, what is the key, Lord? Every person that's up here should have a man, a couple people around them. Yes, you can. Go ahead. Those of you who came forward to pray with them, you go ahead and pray as well. You feel free to pray for them. But what's the key? What's the lock? Use the key, but go to the right lock with it or it's useless. What is this, Lord?
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.